Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yes, we are so glad you guys are here.
Thanks for hopping online with us. We are beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead and get comfy, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We represent Dallas, but we want you to represent too.
Now, we got a great service plan for you guys. So let's get to it. Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
Put your hands together like this, even from your seat, even in the back.
Sing with me.
heart. Don't get distracted by the cute girl next to you or the one beside you. Listen, it's your time. Come on, say, I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord. Oh, if he's been good.
I'll praise you, Lord.
If he has been thoughtful.
And he heard, and he answered.
And that's why. standing there, you're looking at the team, but I want you to seek the Lord.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered.
And that's why.
That's why I trust. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are so grateful that we can seek you, Jesus, and you hear our cry. We are so grateful that you hear our secrets. You know our from afar. You perceive them. You know our behind and before. You hem us in, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Amen.
Good morning, good morning. How's everyone this morning? Let's give a round of applause to Jesus Christ himself. He never fails us if we trust him. Made me think of Leviticus 27 and 30. States that God owns everything, the land, the fruits, the soil, everything that we see, everything we walk on belongs to him. So all we had to do was give a small portion back to him. And how do we do that? By showing him faith that we trust him and love him. Amen. We just want to thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your will today. And thank you, God, for allowing us to have the means to give to you. We love you and we trust you and we honor you and we glorify your kingdom. We pray this in your name. Amen.
What's up, guys? My name is Kyle Bell. I'm going to be doing the announcements for y'all. So first up, we've got KAA. We're so excited for our annual trip to KAA Summer Camp, which will be June 16th to the 21st in Golden, Missouri. There will be sports camps, there will be zip lining, treetops, swimming, tubing, arts, and dance, and most importantly, you can grow in your relationship with Christ. Sign up as soon as possible. Next, the evangelism team. The E-Team is a team composed of students and adults who focus on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ outside of the church with strangers. If you would like to know more about this information and want to gain knowledge and experience sharing the gospel, please sign up in the back of the chapel. The youth and young adult film and photography team. If you like taking photos or are interested in learning film, this may be a ministry for you. NextGen Film and Photography Team has begun. So please sign up today to be a part. Creative Arts. Calling all creative arts. Nets up. NextGen Creative Arts Mandatory Workshop is coming up March 9th, 2024. This is for media, mime, step, drama, photography, worship, and dance. Worship Team 8 a.m. service. A new worship team for the 8 a.m. service is being created. If you are interested in serving the Lord on the praise and worship team, please sign up today. And for Fuse, let's join Buckner International, there, where hope shines, to help children and families. The day is Saturday, February 24th. We meet at the church, we leave at 12:30, and then we return at 3:30. Make sure you sign, you get the assigned waiver to Mr. Isaac ASAP. Let's serve. Remind in social media. To stay connected and updated on all things NextGen Youth, make sure to follow us here on Instagram and make sure to text OCBFY to 81010 and join us on Remind. Again, that's at OCBF NextGen Youth on Instagram and TikTok and text at OCBFY to 81010. Finally, technology. Please keep your phones and earbuds away at this time so we can fellowship and worship with each other. Those are your announcements. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Good morning, NextGen Youth, specifically high school. So good to see you all today. We're going to dive into the Word, but before we do so, I want to say hello to my parents who just walked in. Hey, y'all. Good to see you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for your support. All right. So let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for your grace. You give us what we don't deserve. Thank you for your mercy. You don't give us what we do deserve. I confess on behalf of our students and adults, all of us, that we have sinned and that we have fallen short of your glory. But we thank you, God, that you are forgiving and that you forgive us. Thank you for this time that we have with one another to fellowship together, to worship you, our great God. You are a great God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There is no God besides you. There is no one, nobody like you. Searched all over. Can't find it. So God, may we, as we dive into your word, I approach it humbly. God, may you give me grace to speak, clarity of speech, clarity of mind. God, may you remove distractions from my mind and distractions from the mind of our students so that they can understand clearly. Holy Spirit, will you give them understanding as we seek to connect with you, our God? Bless our time together in the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have ever helped your parents put up Christmas lights, you know that there are some lights that connect to one another in order for them to all work. But those lights that are connected to one another, their connection to one another is irrelevant if there's no connection to a main source. Not only do they have to be connected to one another, but they have to be connected to a main source. This month's theme is connected. And we want to encourage you, myself, all of us to be connected horizontally, to have peace with other teenagers at school, have peace at home, have peace with all people as much as it's possible. But I would like to submit to you that peace horizontally does not matter if there's no peace vertically. That having connection with other teenagers and with other people, having relationships with other people, it all does not matter if there's no vertical relationship with God, if there is no peace connection with God. So throughout this month, we're going to dive more into how you can have peace with other people. And we'll get into that. But to lay the foundation of that, we want to focus today on peace with God. It's the title of my message. That's the main idea, is that all of us would understand how we can have peace with God. Can you repeat that after me? Repeat it after me. Peace with God. Let's all stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. That's in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels. Then you have the book of Acts, which talks about the Acts of the Apostles or Holy Spirit. And that chronicles the history of the church. And then you have the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'll read it. It says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to all say it together. So repeat it after me. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all sound good, all one voice. Huh? You may be seated. So for some of you who like to track how long or how long the preacher is going to be, I'm going to give you this brief outline. We're going to walk through each phrase. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We're going to walk through each phrase. Okay? And this is perhaps, I believe, one of the most important messages that I will have ever have taught you. So I need you to pay close attention. I'm going to be doing a lot of explaining. I'm going to try to ask you a few questions so that there's a little bit of interaction. I know it can be difficult. This perhaps might be your first time hearing of some of these terms. Be patient with yourself as you continue to come to church, as you continue to read the Bible. You'll grow in your understanding, okay? So like I said, this is probably one of the most important messages. I really hope that you understand this clearly, okay? So I'm going to try my best to explain it clearly. He starts with therefore. Now, when you hear therefore, there's a question you ought to ask. Does anybody know? Somebody got it. What is it there for? All right? So whenever you see therefore, you need to ask the question, wait a minute, what is it there for? The word therefore is a connection between what has previously been said and what is about to be said. Following me? Therefore is a connection between what Paul has said previously, Romans chapter 1 to 4, and what he's about to say, Romans 5, 1 and beyond, okay? So in order for us to understand what he's about to say, we need to have at least a basic understanding of what Paul has been discussing. In Romans chapter 1 to 3, Paul, to summarize it, says that everyone is unrighteous. Everyone, including you. And for the person in the room who says, not me, yes, you. Including you, including me, everyone is unrighteous, for all have sinned, you have heard this verse perhaps, and fall short of the glory of God. So there is no exceptions. Everyone's unrighteous. So then the question becomes, if everyone is unrighteous, then how can an unrighteous person become a righteous person? Beginning in the middle of chapter 3, he begins to shift to discuss that. And his whole argument is that the only way that an unrighteous person can become righteous is by faith. The only way that an unrighteous person can become righteous is by faith. And he uses two heroes in the Bible to illustrate that. In fact, it's Black History Month. Let me ask you, what are some heroes of Black History Month? Christian or non-Christian? Just yell it out. What you got? Frederick Douglass. All right? Y'all know who this is? Who is this? Frederick Douglass. He said it, all right? See if y'all paying attention, all right? If you don't know who Frederick Douglass is, I need you to look up who Frederick Douglass is. He was a Christian abolitionist, and he's perhaps my favorite. Okay, he understood that he was wretched and that he was a sinner. Even though he was a slave of man, he understood he was a slave of God, heard the gospel from a white minister, accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Okay. What are some other Black History Month heroes? Booker T. Washington, okay. MLK, of course. Everybody should have said Martin Luther King Jr., all right. What are some other ones? You got any other ones? Rosa Parks, all right. One more? All right, okay, good. Those are heroes of Black History Month. But in the Bible, there are also heroes, significant figures that stand out. And can anybody tell me what are some significant heroes in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ? He's the only ultimate, true, flawless hero, but there are other heroes. Name them. Samson, yeah. What's another one? Esther, okay. Abraham, all right, there we go. I have two that I have in mind that I want to get to. Can anybody name another one? Thought y'all would name this. Who's Moses? Okay, that's a good one. He's definitely a hero. It's another one. Who said it? You said it? Say it again. Somebody said it. Start with a D. David. Gabriel, was that you? You said it. All right. He's going to take credit. All right. So you got Abraham and David. And so Paul is, he's talked about how everyone is unrighteous and that the only way you can become righteous is by faith, by belief, by believing. And so he uses Abraham because Abraham showed it. And he uses David because David spoke about it. In Romans chapter 4, he quotes Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, story of Abraham. And he quotes it, the verse that says that Abraham believed God and God counted it as righteousness. Did you catch that? So Abraham believed God, faith, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham became righteous, not by works, by faith. By believing. And David also speaks of it in Psalm 32, and he quotes this in Romans 4. If you go back and look at it later, it's in Romans 4, verse 6 through 8. And he says, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So significant. Blessed. Anybody want to be blessed? It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Now, if you understand you're a sinner, you understand that that is a blessing. And so Abraham showed it. David spoke about it. And he comes all the way to Romans 5:1. Actually, at the end of chapter 4, and he says, this wasn't just for Abraham and David's sake. It was for our sake, for the reader's sake. And he comes all the way to 5:1, and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith. So let's tackle having been justified by faith. Justified, close attention, means to be declared righteous. Let me say it again. Justified means to be declared righteous. Let me ask you a question. What does justified mean? To be declared righteous. The front row, listen. All right, I just said it, okay? So let's all say it together. Repeat after me. Declared righteous. That is what justified means. It means to be declared righteous, okay? Not made righteous. There's a difference. To be declared righteous is a one-time event. I'll mention that again. To be made righteous is a process. To be justified, that's when you get saved. To be made righteous, that's how you live after you're saved. That is a process. Whereas to be justified is once and for all. Boom. Being made righteous is an ongoing process. He says we are justified by faith. Now the word justified, you can't see this, but in the original language, it is a passive verb. A passive verb. Now, you are in high school, middle school, they were able to get it, or 8 a.m. was able to get it. Let me ask you this. What is the difference between passive and active? Shout it out. Passive? Not quite, but good try. Say it. Active is when you're doing it, and then what is passive? Say it again. Not quite. You got the active part. Passive is opposite of active. So if active is you doing something, passive is what? Something happening to you. Okay? So let's make sure that we understand that clearly, okay? Active is you doing something, working for something. Passive is something that is done to you. Here's a good illustration, I think. Perhaps this will help. A gift. If I wanted to give you, Anna, $50, I'm sorry, I don't have anything on me, all right? But if I wanted to give you $50, it's not something you attained. It's not something you worked for. It's something you receive, okay? Something that happens to you. It's given to you. So let's say it in another way. To be declared righteous is something that you accept by faith, not attained by works. Following me? To be justified, which means what? Declared righteous, there you go. To be justified or declared righteous, it is something you accept by faith, not something you attain by works. So important, as I'll mention here in a moment. Another thing about justified. Justified. Can somebody who's good at English tell me what the ED indicates about that word? Past tense. So what did I just talk about a moment ago is that it's something in the past that happens once and for all. You are declared righteous by God. It is an event of the past and it cannot be undone. So this is critical too. Once God declares you righteous, he can't undeclare you. You can't change positions, right? So put it this way. Once you become a part of Team Jesus, he's not going to trade you to another team. You've been declared righteous. You are now a child of God, and there is nothing you can do to unbecome a child of God, so to speak. What am I saying is that you cannot lose your salvation, young people. And that is so critical to understand, because there are other brothers and sisters in Christ who would like to suggest, based on, I think, a misunderstanding of certain scriptures, that you can lose your salvation. But that's not true. And I'm going to show you real quick in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 29. And what we're going to see is that once you become a child of God, he will never, ever, 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 ever put you up for adoption. Once you become a child of God, there is nothing that can separate you from his love. He says this, watch this, and you'll see our word justified in here. We call this the chain link of salvation. It's an unbreakable chain. Once you saved, you saved. You can't become unsaved. Says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 29. For those Christians whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, talking about Christians, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. What does justified mean? To be declared righteous. And these whom he justified, watch this, he also glorified. So there is no believer who has been foreknown by God, predestined, called, justified, who is not glorified. Every believer that has been predestined, called, is also justified and will be glorified. So he continues in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? That's a rhetorical question. What shall we say about all that? If God is for us, who is against us? Somebody say who? Who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Watch this question, verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Somebody say who? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? That is a rhetorical question. Nobody. Not even Satan. God is the one who justifies. And when you become justified once and for all. And he continues in Romans 8, and he says that nothing in this world, young people, can separate you from the love of God. I want you to say that if you're a believer. I want you to put your hands on your chest. And I want you to repeat after me, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Let that sink in. Just let that sink in. Some of you, and I've said this before, unfortunately, when you move on from next year, you're going to fail in life. And some of you are going to fail miserably. But let me tell you something, young people. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No matter what you've done. Abortion? Nope. Premarital sex? Nope. Pornography? Masturbation? Nope. Nothing can separate you from the love of God because you have been justified by faith. Now, what is faith? Somebody tell me, what is faith? How would you explain faith to another teenager at your school? Okay. What is faith? Believing in something you cannot see. Good. Very good. Anybody else want to share? What is faith? How would you put it in your own words? Shout it out there, Michaela. I see you way back there. Okay, I heard believing without seeing. Okay, I think that's what you said, all right? So believing, it refers to belief or trust. Now, let me give you three elements of saving faith. True faith, genuine faith. You ready? Let's go. Number one, understanding. Repeat after me, understanding. Understanding. You first have to understand that you are a sinner. Then you have to understand that Jesus is the only Savior, the righteous one who came to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. But there are some people who understand that, but they don't agree with that. So everybody repeat after me, agree. Okay. So saving faith requires understanding. You get it. Agreement. You agree with it. There's a lot of people, for example, who understand what the Bible says about, you know, man and what a woman is and, you know, about sex, but they don't agree with what it says. Okay? But then there are people who understand and agree, but they never trust. That is, they never commit or surrender. And that describes many people who sit in these chairs today. There are many people who grow up in the church. They understand John 3:16. They agree with John 3:16, but they've never trusted and believed as John 3:16 has commanded. They have not believed. So understanding, agreement, and trust. And once you have those three ingredients, you have saving faith, the Bible says, as has been traditionally understood. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. But one more comment regarding this, because this is extremely important. This is the difference between Christianity and Roman Catholicism. Has anybody in here been to Catholic school? All right, got one. Anybody else on this side been to Catholic school before? All right, Mr. Jason too. Okay, we had one during the first service. So this is the difference between Christianity and Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics have taught that trust in Jesus, but then you got to do these other things to maintain your justification, to maintain your standing with God. And if you don't do these things, you in a sense, you lose it. You have to work. You have to attain, okay? But Christianity teaches that you are justified by faith apart from works. Let me show you in the text. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to take you through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 verses that say the same thing. Justification apart from works. Beginning in verse 20, he says this. Because by the works of the law, no flesh, no person will be justified in God's sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You saw it there in verse 24. He says, being justified as a gift. Justification is a gift. It's not something you get by works. By his grace, it is a grace thing, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We'll get to Christ in a moment. In verse 28, he says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says it this way. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to Galatians, and the Galatians did the same thing. They were, there were these Jews who were telling the Galatians, "Hey, yeah, it's good you trusted in Jesus, but you need to be circumcised too. Okay, you need to do that too in order for you to be saved, in order for you to maintain your justification." And Paul writes this whole letter of Galatians, six chapters, to explain to the church at Galatia that no, we are justified by faith apart from works. And he says in chapter 2, verse 16, this is Paul, the apostle Paul, confronting Peter. Okay, this is what happens in Christianity among brothers and sisters. We ought to confront one another when we are in error. And Peter was in error, and so Paul tells him this: "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ." You see the repetition? "And not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Okay? And he says it in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. You're more familiar with this verse. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift." And a gift is something that you receive. It's not something you attain for. So he says, not of works, so that no one can boast. So when, God willing, you make it into heaven, you can't say, "Oh, I made it because I did this and that." No. There will be no boasting. If anything, there will be bowing down at the feet of Jesus, because his works is what got us into heaven through faith. We are justified by faith, not works. What does justified mean? Declared righteous. Thank you, Jackson. Declared righteous. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what's the next phrase? We have peace with God. Thank you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So peace with God is the result. Peace with God is the result. Now, let me ask you, is there anybody in here who has been betrayed by a sibling? Okay. Michaela, your hands just shot up. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, how many of y'all have betrayed a sibling? Oh, Michaela, you done betrayed a sibling too? Thanks for your confession, Jackson. All right. But maybe it wasn't a sibling, but maybe you've been betrayed by somebody in your life, or maybe you betrayed someone else. When you betray someone, or when there is betrayal, there is disruption of peace. I'm pretty sure I can say that somebody you betrayed, or somebody that betrayed you, there was a disruption in y'all's connection with one another. That is what sin has done. It has disrupted the peace, the connection between you and me and our relationship with God. Genesis 3, the fall, can also be called the great betrayal. We have betrayed God through our sin. We have betrayed him, and that has disrupted the peace between God and each individual. So that the greatest war, young people, is not between nations. The greatest war is not what you see on the news. It's not between you and your parents either. I know some of y'all at war with your parents, or they at war with you. Sometimes it's them, sometimes it's you, sometimes both. The greatest war is not between nations, it's not between gangs. It's between the sinner and God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that we were sinners when Christ died. Verse 10 says, while we were enemies, Christ died. And so that is our greatest need. is to be reconnected to the God who created us. That is your greatest problem. That is my greatest problem. That is our greatest problem, that we have sinned and we have therefore been separated from God. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, your sins have separated you from God. And the only way to become reconnected is by justification, justification by faith. Peace with others does not matter if there is no peace with God. Peace with God, our relationship with God, our connection with God must be prioritized above everything else. You ought not be pursuing a girl or a boy if you have not first and foremost pursued God. That ought to be first and foremost. In fact, there was a young man, I believe, who came to Jesus and he says, good teacher. No, he didn't say good teacher, but he just asked him a question. He said, what are the two greatest commandments? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he said, there's a second one. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see the priority? He says, you ought to love God. That ought to be first and foremost. And love others as you love yourself. So that our relationship with God, it must be prioritized. And that is in our best interest. Because when we prioritize God above all else, then everything else naturally flows. See, what happened in the garden is that peace with God was disrupted. And so after that was disrupted, then peace with one another was disrupted. And so Adam and Eve are now naked and ashamed. And then you have Cain murdering his brother Abel. And you have all this peace on the world disrupted because peace with God was disrupted. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And one more thing. Coming to church does not grant you peace with God. Singing on the praise and worship team. How great. Yeah, I think I had that, did you? Does not grant you peace with God. Playing the piano. Operating the cameras, serving at church, serving your communities, reading your Bible, praying. None of those things grant you peace with God. The text says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is what brings about peace with God. It is faith. Chuck Swindoll says this, and we'll move to our last phrase. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers, he's a lot older, but if you can, try to listen to him. Chuck Swindoll. He says, Romans begins with the wrath of God. You can read that, Romans 1, 18 to 32. But it now turns to peace with God. What has turned wrath to peace? What has satisfied the holy God, even as he has viewed humanity with all of our poison and filth and unrighteousness? Jesus Christ's death. It has satisfied the just demands of the Almighty Creator. Therefore, believing sinners, by placing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, find that Christ's righteousness satisfies the Holy Creator. Therefore, we have peace with God. Oh, it's the greatest feeling in the world, young people. And I know it by experience. Once you're at peace with God, you are in the right position. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What's our last phrase? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord. Somebody just say Jesus. Jesus. Oh, say it better than that. Jesus. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, justification by faith and peace with God is only possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that sin disconnected us from God. The Savior came to reconnect us to God. The Bible uses the word reconciliation, to be reconnected to the God who created you. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:10, in 11, he says this, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation." Colossians 1:20 says that he has made peace through his blood. 1 Timothy 2:5 puts it this way, that there is one and only one. Let me hear you say that. One. There is one mediator. One mediator between God and man. There's only one who can reconnect us. There's only one who can solve our greatest problem. There's only one. And young people, his name is what? Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus. He's the one who bridges the gap, and it is only him. And he can only be the only way, because he's the only one who is the righteous one. He's the only one who died on the cross. So Muhammad can't be the only way. He wasn't even perfect. Nobody can be the only way. It can only be Jesus Christ, because he is the righteous one. He is the one who died. He is the one who suffered. So we can get in another way? No. He's the one who suffered. He is the one who was crucified. He was the one who was spit on. He was the one who had nails in his feet and in his hands and form. He's the one who bled for you. So he's the only way. For God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Billy Graham says this, "The world will never know peace until it finds it in the cross of Jesus Christ." You will never know peace with God, peace of conscience. You say, "Mr. Isaac, I've been losing my mind." You will never know peace of conscience, peace of mind, and peace of soul until you stand at the foot of the cross and identify yourself with Christ by faith. There is the secret of peace. It's at the cross. He says, "This is peace with God." Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. One more time. What does justified mean? Declared righteous. The only way to be declared righteous is by faith in Jesus. And what is the result? Peace. Shalom with God. And so as we close, Mr. Isaac, okay, what should I do in light of this? Well, what did we talk about? We talked about saving faith. Let me give you three things. Recognize that you are unrighteous. Do you understand that? Do you agree with that? Do you agree with the Bible's assessment of you, that you are unrighteous? Recognize that you are unrighteous. Now you're ready for step two. Receive the righteousness of God by faith. Romans 10 says for us to believe in Jesus, that he died for the forgiveness of our sins and that God raised him from the dead for our justification. That's what John 3:16 says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31 said, "What must I do to be saved? I want to be reconnected to God. I want peace with God." Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." So believe. But Mr. Isaac, where do works come in? Well, you work because you're saved, not to be saved. So once you get saved, that's when works come into play. You don't work to enter into the kingdom. You work because you're already in the kingdom. And somebody help me out. When somebody gives you a gift, what do you say? Thank you. Salvation is a gift, young people, that he gives you. And when you receive it for the first time, you say, "Thank you." But not just with your lips, with your entire life. You trust in him. You surrender. I trust it. You trust in God. You surrender your life to him. And you want to now live to please him. Romans 6:12-14 says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm sorry, Romans 12:1 says present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is the gospel. Bow your heads for a word of prayer. Oh, Father, I thank you that although we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, you provided a way for us to become righteous, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for his work on the cross. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who was sent. Thank you for Jesus, the righteous one, the Savior. Thank you for justification, that we're declared righteous by faith, and that we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, my prayer is that this is not a message that goes in one ear and out the other, but that our students truly understand how to have peace with God, and that's by being justified through faith, by faith. Help us to live in light of that. If there's anyone in this room with every head still bowed, and perhaps for the first time you understand it, you finally get it, that you are a sinner and you agree and you want to trust in Jesus, you want to commit your life to him, you want to surrender to him, I'm going to count to three and I want you to raise your hand. It's the only way to have peace with God. If you're in this room and you want to be connected to the God who intricately created you, the one who has a plan for your life, if you want to be connected to him, you want to have peace with him, believe. And as a demonstration of your belief, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If there's one. My hope is that everyone else indeed has peace with God. But for some of us, we can have peace with God, but we don't have the peace of God. And so if you need prayer for anything, if you need peace of mind, if you're struggling at home, you're struggling at school, you're struggling in your individual relationships, maybe you don't have peace with your parents, maybe you don't have peace with your guardians, whoever is raising you, maybe you don't have peace at school, maybe you've been isolated and you've become lonely and you want to discover peace that only God can give. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand. And we have adults here standing ready to pray for you, ready to encourage you, ready to build you up. One, two, three. Just raise your hand if you need prayer. If you need prayer for something, an adult is coming, just hang on. I'll pray us out and then we'll move into communion. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that having been justified by faith, we have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice. I pray for every student, every adult in this room, that we would seek to maintain our fellowship with you because you've been so good to us. May we work on being intimate with you, God, connected to you. Bless our students today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen.
Man, that was some good Ray right there.
I know. I'm ready to put it into action in my life. And we want to encourage you to do the same.
There are so many gems in that message. So take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it to your life this week.
Let's pray before we go. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us this word today. And please help us to apply it to our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in with us. Make sure to log on next week at 11 a.m. Central. Till then, have a great week. God bless.
God bless.